Oh my God. I wrote fight scenes. S-E-E-N-S. What was I doing?
As in, you seen those fights?
I'm just like, what the heck? Anyway.
Hello, and welcome to Geek Chew, a podcast where we talk about the pop culture stuff we like. Our intro music was by my brother Ryan. I'm Eamon.
I'm Charlene.
And today we're going to talk about Atomic Blonde, Valerian, a couple movies. What is that?
Nothing.
You liked it. Have you just had time to reconsider?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I still like it. And Mr. Miracle number one came out by Mitch Gerads.
You have it right in front of you, don't you?
How would you say his last name? Anyway, Tom King.
Spell it for me.
Is the writer. G-E-R-A-D-S. Gerads. Gerads.
I have no idea.
The art's really good, though.
Yes, I agree.
And I guess...
we've done a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we... well, first of all, I think in the next episode, we'll do the book club book, Autumn, right? I should be done.
Yeah.
You're already done. So
you're next not finished episode, with it yet?
No, I haven't read it. I'm halfway, more than halfway there. But we did go see The Dark Tower, and
yes,
we had this plan to read all the Dark Tower books after as like our book club thing. And I mean, I've kind of soured on that. Like,
why?
I don't want to not read the books, but I need to give it some time. Like, the movie was just not inspiring. So, you want to stick with it?
Well, they're so good.
Okay.
I feel like
the first book and then, you know, so we'll take it one at a time.
I mean, I have already read the first
one
book.
One at a time. Right. I will read it and you will
reread
watch
it.
Watch me read it.
No.
But other than that, I've watched a lot of TV.
Me too.
You were going to get caught up on The Sex Criminals, but no. I refused to get those out of the box in the garage.
No, you didn't.
Even though I think that you could get them too.
I probably could, but
I did order us.
Here's the thing. I don't know which box it's in, and it's not in the one that is out where you can just go
the most
into it.
Accessible.
Yeah, the other ones, and they're kind of heavy, and they're on that shelf, and you
right.
know.
I will get them.
Thank you.
It's probably only one or two issues that you don't have out there, but I did order us some awesome matching t-shirts.
So yeah.
I'm
very
t-shirts.
Excited.
But anyway, what do you have for TV? Because that's basically all I have before we get
Glow?
Into our stuff. Yeah. I'm not saying I didn't have anything. I was just wondering what you wanted to talk about first. But Glow is very good on Netflix. The glamorous ladies of wrestling.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. I knew it didn't sound right.
Do you know that there's this documentary that came out in like...
I know. I feel like we should have watched
2012?
Yeah. It's on Netflix too, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it looks pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
You're an episode ahead of me.
Right. For some reason, I thought I was just catching up to you, but I got an episode ahead.
Yeah. But I don't know. What'd you think?
It's really good.
It's really good.
And it's funny.
Yeah, and it's not a comedy, but it's definitely got very funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's a drama.
You think it is a comedy?
I mean, it's
like a dramedy.
I mean, there's
word.
Definitely some stuff in there that's supposed to be very funny, but
right.
it's supposed to also be, you know, a look at women in the 80s.
Right.
And also just this phenomenon that happened that I had never heard about.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, like, that it was really a real thing.
It's really real. Mark Maron.
For real.
Is the manager.
Yeah, how can you say it's not a comedy when Mark Maron isn't it? He's a comedian.
Really? I mean, Mark I know Maron? He's a comedian, but like comedians don't have to be in comedies.
No, I know. Look at Tom Hanks. Anyway.
That's the one you pull out. but yeah, it's I don't have much written down about it, like who else is in it. I just know his name because he's Mark Maron.
Right. I did watch Butter. We started to talk about that.
Butter, yes.
That movie with Jennifer Garner. It's quite good. Dark comedy.
Remind me what it's about. I don't remember.
It's about these people who sculpt in butter.
Oh, yeah.
In this competition.
Yeah.
It was actually really, really good.
But that's a movie on Netflix or it's a yeah. series?
No, it's a movie.
But you didn't finish it?
No, I finished it.
Oh. I thought you said you started it. No. Maybe you said we started talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good to know you pay attention to the words coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. As I just expertly recreated them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So
I guess I don't have a whole lot. I caught up on stuff that you don't like. So like where I watched Vampire Diaries. I think it's like completely done now, which would actually be a relief because then I don't have to keep up with it anymore. But I think it's done.
Good.
Like the last episode of the last season seemed very wrap-up-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
well, we're watching The Defenders.
Oh, yeah. Defenders.
We're through episode 5 of 8. I thought it was only going to be 4 episodes, but it's 8.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do that in 4 episodes if we're already in 5 and it seems like they've done nothing. Right. Well, they've not done nothing, but you know.
Right. So it is getting better. It was definitely a slow start. Mm-hmm. And I think we actually both agree on that. Usually I say it was slow and you're like, nah, but it was a slow start. Yeah. Episode 3 got a little better. 4 was good. 5 was really good. I don't know
why it took them so long to get together.
Yeah. But I like I like it so far. It's got, you know, the same corny elements that most of the Netflix Marvel stuff has, especially, you know, Iron Fist and Luke Cage, Heroes for Hire guys, which hopefully they'll spin off, but we'll see.
That would be nice, but I just don't see that from the Danny Rand character in these shows.
Yeah.
First of all, he's already very rich, so why would he be a hero for hire? also, he's not funny. Why would Luke Cage want to hang out with him?
Yeah, well, maybe they can be funny together. It's like me and you. When you're not with me,
you're... Are you saying I'm not funny when you're not around?
How would I know?
I feel like I've watched... Oh, we're watching Bachelor in Paradise.
We're not done with Defenders.
Oh, I thought we were.
Well, I'm not. You don't have anything to say about the show?
I don't know. I feel like I need to see it as a whole complete thing to talk about. Like I do. What's nice about it is I do want to keep watching episode to episode.
Right.
It's definitely not disappointing in the same way that Iron Fist was disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of annoyed with Daredevil, which I haven't been in the past, but he's like, so like, all these people that I love are going to get hurt. It's like, always the only thing he talks about.
Okay.
I just want him to like step up and do the thing. You know what I mean? He's like just so torn right now. And like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think one of my favorite things about even this series is that Matt Murdock Elektra relationship though, which I, you know, season 2 was, I think my favorite season 2 of Daredevil was definitely my favorite Marvel Netflix.
I'm all thing. For the Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones was also yeah. good. But, and she needs more to do, I think.
I feel this, like she needs more to do, too.
In the show, but we'll
like,
see.
Like she you said, hasn't really done. Used much of her, like, detective skills, except for, like, getting her to be in the same place at the same time as these other characters.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, really, that's all she brings to the team.
Yeah.
Because she's really super strong, but like, so are all of them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Luke Cage is, Iron Fist is, maybe not so much Daredevil, but.
Yeah. I do like the way that they're, I mean, because the 4 TV shows are all pretty different.
Right.
They're doing a good job, I think,
bringing kind of the feel for each of it
together and making it make sense at least a little bit.
Yes.
Especially with the whole Kunlun hand magic mystical stuff. So
yes.
I don't know. It was good.
It is good. It is good.
We'll probably finish it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Bachelor in Paradise is back.
Yeah. And
I wasn't going to watch it because The Bachelorette was just so,
so boring
bad this year. It was so boring.
And the end was like, while that was the best episode, the like finale episode, because the most interesting things happened, I hated how it turned out.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
It was no good.
Yeah.
But Bachelor in Paradise.
Always
you guys best. I said you could watch it without me, and then like 5 minutes in of me being home while you were watching it, I was like, yeah, you guys can't watch this without me.
Yeah, because it's so funny.
It's just funny. Yeah.
So entertaining and just funny.
Yeah. And setting aside whatever happened, that closed down production sounds like it wasn't, it was more of like, I don't want to say anything stupid. Like,
right.
It seems like it was a misunderstanding maybe between a third party and what was going on with the people in the cast.
Yes.
And not saying it didn't merit the investigation.
Well, it's unfortunate because
stuff, but
it really, all right, I think we should just say it sucks because the two people involved in the scandal now, like, this is what they're associated with. And I feel like that's like the right. worst thing about it. But just taking all of that away, face value for the show, it's still just good television entertainment,
right.
like, just to consume.
I mean,
we don't watch a lot of
reality television, but
no,
this is
it,
so
actually. I think, oh, well, I watch, like, MasterChef, which I guess
right,
is,
I don't,
is
I don't
in
count
the,
that as reality television. That's, I mean, I know it.
It is, like, I guess, though, right?
Sure. It's more of, like, a game show kind of thing, though.
I guess because The Bachelorette also falls into game show. There are contestants.
Right. MasterChef and Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And MasterChef Junior, but that's kind of the same. So Bachelor franchise, MasterChef franchise, and that's it.
Okay. So, yeah. The only other things I watched, I guess, last night I watched the first episode of The Defiant Ones on HBO. It's a documentary. It was so good.
What's that about?
It's a 4-part doc about, I guess it seems like kind of music giants, but they're kind of weaving
the story of Dr.
Dre. And like, I thought it was going to be, and they might still do this cause I've only watched the one episode. I thought it was just going to like concentrate on one person, per episode.
Installment.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. But, it seems to be kind of telling the story of Dr. Dre, but also how all these other industry people have interacted with him and his producer, Jimmy Iovine. Like Bruce Springsteen is in the episode that's talking about Dr. Dre because he worked with his manager producer. I'm not sure. And we watched Death Note, me and Courtney, which you've already chastised me for.
Yeah, I can't believe I got like a text message and I was like, what the heck? Anyway, I just didn't think that that's what was going to happen. I thought Courtney was going to be like, oh, mom, let's watch Death Note. And you were going to be like, peace.
Well, it was much better than the trailer made it seem it was going to be. Very different, apparently, from the anime that Courtney watched. But to be expected. I really liked it. It was good.
Cool.
You should watch it. Courtney will watch it again.
Of course he will.
Did you want to get into, because as previously discussed off air, I'm already going to have to cut a bunch of this out, but,
mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how far we are actually into the episode, but do you want to move on to Valerian, which you have done an about face on for no reason whatsoever?
All right. I wouldn't say about face, but I'm definitely turned away.
Isn't that what that
a
is?
A little bit.
Oh, you're just kind of like.
Yeah.
Given to the side eye at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets is the full title.
Right.
And directed by Luc Besson, who I didn't know did The Professional. Like, I knew he had done The Fifth Element. And
The Professional and The Fifth Element are like, among my favorite movies.
Yeah. And I never saw Lucy, but you saw Courtney.
So, apparently, I have, like, this love-hate relationship with this director because, that movie was not good.
So, it was based on these graphic novels.
Valerian Laureline.
Yeah. French graphic novels. Valerian, who is Dane DeHaan in the movie, and Laureline, who is Cara Delevingne. I just paused there because I'm like, hey, I got to write. And I was thinking about going back and reading some of those. But first of all, they're not all on Comixology. And the ones that are like volume 22. There's so many. And so it kind of stymied my enthusiasm.
We'll probably order some.
Yeah, I think maybe on Amazon we could get like a hard copy. But they're like the whole first 15 volumes are not available on Comixology, so that's where my research ended on that. But so, I mean, we had talked about it a little bit before, how it was a very expensive, basically independent movie, and it's sci-fi, and no matter how cool that kind of looks in a trailer or whatever, like, those movies just don't tend to do very well, and I don't think this was any exception. Unfortunately, I think.
Right.
So it took me a little while to get into it. The whole scene on the first planet scene that set up, you know, the whole storyline with that species. It's been so long since I saw the movie. I don't really remember what they're called. But
Pearls.
That's what the people are called?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's easy. But once it kind of got going, I got into it and I enjoyed it, even though it still has some of that. I mean, The Fifth Element's a corny movie, you know?
Yes.
And it has that feel, I think.
But I feel like some of the all heart of the
is maybe missing.
Yes. And also, like, the lead in this movie was so lame. Basically, okay. So you could shut your eyes. And you'd be like, that kind of sounds like Keanu Reeves, but like way lamer.
A little bit. Yeah, he's.
And I even heard somebody else compare his sound to Keanu Reeves on a podcast. And I was like, I felt exactly the same way. But he just had no charisma, I guess. I guess so. I don't know. I found him to be
just
boring.
I was going to say that word
boring.
Too, but I didn't think it was that bad.
I did.
What did you think of Laureline?
I thought she was great. But I felt like there was no chemistry between them. I felt like their relationship was sort of forced and not believable. Like, you see why he would, like, be into her, but you don't really see why she would be into him.
Right.
At all. Like, at all.
Was there stuff about the movie you did like?
Oh, yeah. It was so beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
I
like the big market scene.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of really cool elements, but like overall as a story, it wasn't just like, wow, that movie was so good, you know?
Yeah.
Like I could see it again and it's fun to watch. I thought the scene with Rihanna was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But then like after that scene, her involvement was just sort of weird.
Sure.
I guess it just seemed like weird.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder how it stacks up. I know this is... I'm not sure how different it is from the storylines in the books. I mean, I know I think it was only like one volume of the books is like the story they based it on. I listened to the Comics Alternative podcast where they talked about just the books, obviously. They didn't talk about the movie, but they referenced the volume that the movie was kind of based on. But I don't know.
And then also, I know I've brought this up before, like the general, like the cliche military general who is going to win his personal war at all costs is just a little, and like, that seemed a little bit tired to me.
Yeah.
And I get that they're pulling a lot of the story from other things, but I just, aside from like the visual, I mean, it was visually stunning and legitimately fun to watch, but I felt like the story just held like very little weight.
Yeah.
And the actors, like when you put your main character, like your title character, is so boring to watch. I just didn't feel anything for him. I was like, yeah. So, right.
Well,
which sucks.
Worth watching.
Yeah.
But not an instant classic, I guess.
Yeah.
Like the Fifth Element was just, like, I know that it didn't really do that well, and it was kind of like one of those cult movies that just kind of gained steam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen with this one. Anything else for Valerian?
No.
Okay. It didn't seem like it. So we also saw Atomic Blonde.
Yes.
Which was also a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also based on a graphic novel, which we actually did purchase. And I read. You've started it.
Yes.
You didn't finish it.
Yeah. So far it started out about the same.
Yeah. The Coldest City by Anthony Johnson and Sam Hart. And yeah, I mean, they changed, like, it was basically, I think the movie seems like they kind of took the basic premise of the book and just smashed John Wick on top of it, but with a lady, which was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
The movie was kind of, you know, I did like the movie.
I liked the movie too. I feel like some people are not enjoying it that much, and maybe also getting confused. I wasn't confused with what was happening in the story along the way at all,
so
even to the end.
I did think that the way the story was laid out in the movie was a little bit difficult to follow. And there's a twist at the end that's not in the book. But even reading the book is hard to follow for a different reason. They're throwing all these names out. The art is very, I don't want to say basic. It's very
simple.
Simple. It doesn't make it sound any better because it's in a good looking book, but there's not a lot of differentiation, I guess. It's just hard. The plot is a little hard to follow in the book because you don't know who they're talking about. In the movie, I wish I could remember a little bit better why it's hard to follow so we could have a better discussion about it. But it was still a fun movie, directed by John Leach, who was part of the John Wick
the first
series.
One.
Yeah, the movie. I think he was a co-director.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the like fight scenes in these were really well done and realistic.
Yeah, it's kind of like those, at least the first season of Daredevil, where these long drawn out fights would happen and you could just see him wearing down and getting tired. They do that same thing in this, in the movie with her. But the movie set 1980s Berlin when the wall's about to come down, like around the specific days where the wall is going to come down. So that makes for a fun soundtrack. I heard the other day on a podcast that the song they used to open the movie was also used in Inglourious Basterds. They thought it was like too soon to reuse it, but because I didn't know that, it didn't bother me. But the rest of the soundtrack is kind of it's updated, right? They're like remakes of 80s songs. They're not just,
no, I think that they're straight pulls.
Are they?
Which was great. I loved it. The music was awesome. Oh yeah. My god, I wrote fight scenes, SEENS. What was I doing?
As in, you seen those fights?
I'm just like, what the heck?
Anyway, anything else in the movie stand out to you? Like, I
mean,
liked...
her wardrobe was amazing. That was one of my favorite things about the whole movie was the wardrobe. I did hear that sort of the rendezvous little relationship that she has with another spy in the books was a man. They switched it to a woman, which I thought was like an interesting change. It didn't seem out of place.
Yeah.
You know?
And I heard like some concern, which I think is founded just based on trailers, that they might have done that to just like fanboy service, like, hey, come watch this movie with sexy spy ladies making out. But it didn't feel like that in the movie.
No.
Which was nice.
Yeah, it didn't. And it didn't seem gratuitous in any way.
No.
I mean, the one particular fight scene with the hose was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That definitely stood out to me as like innovative, yeah, like fun, like the way you would expect someone who's trained to protect themselves and defend themselves, yeah, in a situation where they're not expecting to have to, you know, like to grab what they have and to utilize that and be aware of their surroundings in such a way. I think that that was really cool.
Yeah. And she did a lot of her own stunt. I guess she does a lot of her own stunt stuff anyway. Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm. And she's like 40, right? Her name.
Yeah. Somewhere around there. Yeah, she was on the Bill Simmons podcast.
I did listen to that interview.
Oh, you did listen to it. Yeah. Where she was talking about, she almost died doing stunts on Aeon Flux.
Oh yeah.
And like,
she like broke her back.
10 years she went before she got surgery and, her spine, she had to get something fused.
Yep.
And, which is pretty scary. Mm-hmm. Anything.
I think she did a great job. I love James McAvoy.
Right. It's been too long. Like it was so long ago that we saw it, but, it was not long ago that I read Mr. Miracle number one for about the third time since yes, we got it.
So like we said, I also really enjoyed this book.
Yeah. Like we said, it's by Tom King, who wrote Vision, 12-issue miniseries, which this is also going to be a 12-issue miniseries, who currently writes Batman, and Mitch Gerads.
Mm-hmm.
Gerads. The art is also really good. Like, this is, I don't know, as far as like a superhero book goes, it's just a DC title, but it seems more like a Vertigo kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had to go back and do all kinds of research on this character and once I did that, like, the book itself made more sense.
Right. So I have no back information about the character, Mr. Miracle. What I gleaned from the book is that he's some kind of sort of like a magician who, like an escape artist magician, not right, magician necessarily, but escape artist.
Yeah.
Like in the way of Houdini.
Right. Of. And the book, like the first two pages, which are pretty
dramatic,
intense, yeah, right away. But the words they use to introduce Mr. Miracle, mm-hmm, it's like straight out of Mr. Miracle number one, like the first issue that ever came out. Like,
interesting.
It's word for word, but, you know, quite different. So he's a Jack Kirby creation,
mm-hmm,
from 1971, I guess, right after he left Marvel, kind of not a great parting with their company.
Right.
And so so as far as Mr. Miracle goes, this is, I mean, the back story is crazy. Like, it has to do with Kirby's fourth world universe that inspired, like a lot of people say, it inspired Star Wars or whatever. But it's, he is, Jesus, where do I even start? So, Darkseid, mm-hmm, is his planet. Apocalypse is, mm-hmm, like hell. And then the High Father
is his
New
dad.
Genesis, which is kind of like heaven in this,
mm-hmm,
conflict with Apocalypse. And yeah, the High Father is scot-free. That's his. So that's the first time I've said it out loud and I finally get it.
That's funny.
Just writing it down or like reading it just didn't like
click. It didn't in my click. Head. That's so funny because it definitely did for me.
Yeah. But so they swapped their heirs. Like, the High Father sent Scott to live on Apocalypse and Darkseid sent Orion to New Genesis so that the planets wouldn't destroy each other, like, whatever. The two worlds. I don't know if they're planets, but however they're set up. But yeah, so he grew up there. So, but he's basically a god, right?
Mm-hmm.
To a certain degree. He's immortal. He has superhuman powers and intellect.
Where he apparently can break locks, like pick locks. Yeah. Pick lock superpowers.
There's actually a really good article on sci-fi.com by Matthew Funk that compares this number one Mr. Miracle with Jack Kirby's. You should read it. It's really good. I don't know why I didn't send it to you actually, but
yeah,
I just wanted all this information for myself.
Yeah, you know? It seems like it.
Or you could have just Googled something.
Listen, I have no iPad right now. It's been stolen and also doesn't work. Getting on the computer here at the house is a hassle.
I use my phone for everything.
I guess I could use my phone, but sometimes just like sitting down and reading a whole article on my phone that like I actually have to pay attention to is difficult because I have to hold the phone. I do, and I want to like take notes, and this is just, I don't know. I guess I should just get over myself.
Well, that's what I was definitely going to say. So, I mean, there's so much about the book. It starts with basically a suicide attempt by this character who's usually, most other iterations, I guess, he's kind of like this
happy-go-lucky
kind of guy.
This is what's interesting to me is like I kind of assumed that because of the story. And, well, first of all, what King is doing with his books that I've read so far with Vision and like taking these hero characters who are really superhuman and like giving them like the real life human problems, I think is very interesting.
Yeah.
And the way that this book deals with like depression is interesting to me. I mean, that's something that's interesting to me anyway. And I like how this book focuses on that.
Right.
And like that's part of the story for this character.
I mean, obviously you take a hero like Mr. Miracle, whose main like shtick is he's can escape from anything. The themes in the book are pretty obvious, like right from the start. Like there's some things that you can't escape from. You feel trapped. I think Tom King in these interviews is talking about like he wanted it to be kind of a psychological examination of how he feels in the world today. Like, you know, he was an ex-CIA operative.
Really?
And instead he was like, I don't want to just like tweet Trump sucks. Like I wake up in a country that I've fought for and would die for. And I feel trapped in this weird version of it.
That's heavy.
It is. Well, the book's heavy too, right?
Yes, it is, definitely.
Very heavy.
And there's a lot of what's reality, like, and him really being in the world that he doesn't recognize. That's very interesting. Like,
right.
I wish that you had maybe sent me some of that stuff to read. So
I did. It wasn't all from that one article. I read three or four, which I can forward to you. I could Google them up again.
I feel like Google them up.
That's right. I think that's my, that's like a colloquialism from my mom. And
yep.
That's the one person. So I don't think you can call it colloquial, but.
I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say, it seems to me like when I would find an interesting article, I would very frequently send them to you.
I couldn't even tell you the last time that happened.
Yeah, because I haven't been at a computer in months and months.
Anyway, he also feels trapped in this kind of depression. But you also see, there's so many layers. You also see
yes.
his happy-go-lucky kind of attitude in this whole scene where he's being interviewed on a late night talk show. Yeah, which it's like three pages of the book. The whole scene's pretty funny.
Yeah,
how the host is kind of like digging and he's like, but you don't have to say anything. And some of the expressions just
yes.
on his face while he's talking about how he escaped death. And that's what that whole suicide attempt was about. It's really good. So, what else? There's so much.
There's a lot to dissect in this. So
almost every page that has actual frames, like the first couple pages are splash pages or full pages,
right? Borderless.
And then they move into these kind of 9-frame pages. Almost every page, except for the one where he's talking to the High Father, has at least one of these just black squares that are rectangles that says Dark Side is.
Yes.
And they kind of multiply as you get further on through the book. And I mean, maybe there's more to it than this, but my interpretation was just like dark side is always present and he's kind of closing in.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. Like dark side's presence always there, and also somehow in some way manipulating like mm-hmm. what is happening with him mentally,
right.
like what's
at the
going
end,
on
when he's about to walk through the boom tube to Apocalypse because New Genesis is falling. He's going through with his wife, Big Barda, who, I mean, some of the names are just really mm-hmm. awesome. He grew up with her on Apocalypse, and they were under the, I don't want to say supervision, but like they were raised by Granny Goodness. That's why she says in the book, Granny is the only one who can teach to Orion. Uh-huh. But, you know, they're about to go through the boom tube, and he's like, something's wrong. Like,
right, I don't recognize this, or like something's off.
Yeah.
I can't trust where I'm at right now.
And it's that one page where he's talking to the High Father, and there's no dark side is or whatever, and it's so much brighter than the rest of the book. He talks about that dark side has this, what did he call it? Anti-life equation, and that he can use that. That he already has it. They've been trying to keep it from him, but he got it, and he can use that to change men's minds in
right.
some way. Oof, I don't know. do you have anything else on the book?
No, I mean.
So I had a question about the third page of the book, where it's the story about the kid who's been asked to draw something. And he says, I drew God. And the teacher's like, well, nobody knows what he looks like. He's like, yeah, not till now. I just drew him.
because they do now. Yeah.
So it looks, I mean, that was supposed to be, it looked like it was supposed to be scot-free as a kid. He even had like the kind of Mr. Miracle mm-hmm. dots on him, on his shoulders, but he wasn't like wearing a uniform. But then later in the book, he's like hallucinating that his old assistant Oberyn, who had died, who's
already telling
dead,
him this joke.
Is telling him this joke. And what did you think about that? Because I was like, I don't really.
That's sort of like a classic joke. Have you never heard it before? It's like an old one. Yeah. So it's kind
but
of like an old
is it
jokey
in two
story.
Places in the book.
I mean, that's unclear. I mean, it could be a couple of different things that. You know, who is that kid? Is it like a random kid, or is it scot-free drawing himself? Is it a memory? His assistant who's dead. I mean, obviously what's going on there, you can't trust
right.
what's happening. So I feel like maybe it is sort of pulling from memories of what's happened.
No.
The whole thing is sort of set up to make you feel uneasy about what is going on in the world that he's in.
Yeah. Well, geez, I don't know. I mean, it's been a while. It's been a while since I can remember us being this excited about a book together.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And it's really good. And I think the next one might be coming out, must be coming out pretty soon, because this one came out. I mean, we've had this book for
a couple weeks now.
2 or 3 weeks.
But if that's it, I guess we could just wrap it up.
Yeah, definitely. We're on the social medias. Leave a rating, review, if you have time, if you listen to the end. Whatever, we'll be back. It was fun. It was smart. We liked it.